Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Maker's Grind podcast. I'm Jordan Hawkins, your host, and I created this podcast for you. For the money, for the riches, you may ask. No, I don't get paid anything for this. It's purely a passion project to encourage creative artists and entrepreneurs to be the best they can be. And you ask, how do I find my guests for this show? I have two qualifications. To find a unique person that's doing something different. And on today's show, we have someone that embodies that so well, the founder and creative director of Cliff Co. Cliff Co. tells stories that matter. They're an impact storytelling agency for nonprofits and companies that are doing good around the world. And here's what they say about themselves. We produce media that adds meaning and value to the world by compelling audiences to pay attention and act. Everyone has a story worth telling, and we're the creative agency to tell it. They tell stories through film, photography, motion graphics, and by educating these nonprofits on how to tell their story in the best way by developing a plan for them. And what I love about Ashley is she's a female filmmaker. She manages an entire team of creatives that's focus is to make the world better. And it's not just about that. Her films have been viewed by millions, received national awards, aided in passing legislation, raised millions of dollars for nonprofits, from documentaries to commercials to music videos. Ashley's done it all. Her belief that a well-told story can connect and ignite us all to serve as a catalyst for social impact and ultimately for change. Ashley's so intelligent, and after talking to her today, I'm just inspired. So you may not be a filmmaker, and that's totally fine. If you're anyone who has any type of creative voice to put out into the world, and you have any interest in doing good with your craft, with your art, with your business, this conversation with Ashley will really give you some steps and has really challenged me to begin to do more for others. For me, at some point, money is one thing and success is another, but what we do for others, the good we do for others, how we take our creative, artistic voice and make change in the world. Someone once said, if all of your prayers were answered, would it change the world or would it only change you? I would echo the same with creativity. If at the end of our life, all of our work only benefited us and not the world, what good did we really do? So I'm inspired and super excited about this conversation with my new friend, Ashley Gutierrez. So lean in. She's someone that's really doing it. You hear the term storyteller and you kind of sometimes think, okay, are they really a storyteller? Are they just saying it? She's really a storyteller. And one thing that I love that she says in the interview is that we always tell a story, a great story, but we never do it at the expense of a person. The person comes first. The person comes first and we let the story flow from there. So let's jump into this conversation with Ashley Gutierrez. So Ashley is the founder and creative director at Cliff. Is it cliff.co or Cliff Co? How do you say that?
Cliff Co.
Cliff Co. Yeah. So you can tell us a little bit about that. And like, I originally found your work, if I'm not mistaken, through the project you did with Purpose Hotel.
Oh, yeah. I saw Jeremy Cowart.
Yep. So I followed Jeremy Cowart and then I somehow linked through to y'all's page from there. And I was like, oh, this is super cool. Like, you know, at that point, I just kind of knew like you're doing impactful work for nonprofits and businesses and things like that. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that and maybe like how that got started.
Yeah, I love that you found us through Jeremy. He's such a good guy and like a lot of creative overlap there. Yeah, Cliff Co. We're like a group of friends that enjoy creating films for nonprofits and pro-social businesses. So our common background is we all worked for an organization called Invisible Children, a nonprofit organization.
Cool.
And Invisible Children invested a lot into media creation and storytelling and awareness. And we felt like the creative team and I felt like we learned a lot of good tools and a lot of good lessons working at Invisible Children. And so Cliff Co. was really born out of the idea of like, I feel like we have a unique perspective and You've experienced successes and failures working at Invisible Children. What if we came together and used all of that to help other organizations that are doing really good work but just need help trying to figure out how to tell the story of what they're doing? Because I just saw so many organizations doing really, really good work but struggling in trying to figure out how to talk about what they're doing in an emotional, impactful way. So yeah, Cliffco was kind of like started 4 years ago, and honestly it's been one of those things where it's like, oh, the plane is kind of in the air and it's kind of flying, we're kind of touching the ground, but we started collaborating on projects together, right? Because we miss working in a team, so let's start working on projects together. And then we started getting a volume of work together, and like we had multiple portfolios going, like pointing to my website, pointing to my friend Arlie and Dan's website. And we're like, this needs to be cohesive.
That's cool.
What should we call this? Like, what is this? And it was just like a funny decision, joke made. We looked at Cliff, my dog, in the corner of our office, and we're like, let's call it Cliffco. And it just stuck. So that's what I mean when it felt like we were building the plane as it was already flying. But it's been a good journey over the last 4 years. Like, I think creativity best happens like when we're not siloed, when we can work as a team and like throw everything at a wall and really own like, okay, these are my strengths, these are your strengths. Like, how can we come together to create something astonishing or masterful?
I love that. And it's probably, with your scenario, it's probably one of those things where you feel like the plane's like sort of off the ground, but then everyone else is looking at you like, well, you guys are killing it, you're doing this, you're going everywhere, you're doing all these films. Like, I watched the I don't know the name of the film, but it was the one about Harold.
Yeah.
So moving. Like, anyone listening to this should go watch that right now. But, and then below it, I saw like it raised a ton of money too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
that was a great
film. Gosh, I love Harold. If anyone watches that and wants an update on him, he actually just graduated secondary school and is looking toward university. So he aced all of his final exams and he's trying to get into a good university, so we're rooting for him, hoping to see him when we go back to Malawi next January.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, we call ourselves an impact storytelling agency because we really want to focus on getting the best like return on investment for our partners, because having worked for a nonprofit for 6 years, like, I understand how hard it is to fundraise and ask for money. And so I think storytelling is a really amazing vehicle to get people engaged with your message, help them understand the why of the work. And so we try to really come to our partners and ask a ton of questions to figure out what they need and what their goals are. And a lot of the times it's fundraising. So Harold's film in particular was shown at the gala, and it helped in raising, I think, almost $1 million, like $950,000. I'd have to check.
Incredible. So did you primarily get into filmmaking first or photography, or like what was your initial start into all this?
Well, go back in history. So I studied broadcast journalism, my undergrad degree. And I, believe it or not, I really wanted to go into entertainment news. I dreamed of being on the red carpet. And the common theme is I was interested in people and their story. But the road to get there, I'm like, yes, I want to tell people stories on the red carpet and interview them and get to know them. And I had one reporting professor throughout the years that really challenged me and took me under his wing. And he's like, you gotta start reporting on worldly issues for me. Like, stop doing soft news, feel good stories. I need some worldly issues from you. And I'm like, there's a saying in the news industry, like, if it bleeds, it leads. Or at least there was like 10 years ago when I was in school. I don't know anymore. But I don't wanna tell those stories. Like, I wanna inspire people and make them feel good. And it's like, nah, just level with me now. There's this group coming to campus tonight. They're showing a film, give you extra credit. Like, go and write an article, I'll give you extra credit. I'm like, okay. So it wasn't even class-wide. It was just a challenge for me personally. And I went, and it was a screening of Invisible Children's first film called The Rough Cut. And I had a very cliche, but very real, life-changing moment where I remember sitting in the first row with like my little reporter pad and my recorder, and I was just sobbing. And it was the first time growing up in a medium-sized town in the Midwest that I feel like my bubble had been popped, and I had really, in an emotional way, experienced a devastating issue happening across the world. And so I knew at that point, I'm like, wow, I want to tell stories, but for a much different purpose. I don't want to be in front of the camera. I want to be behind it, and I want to elevate people's voices and try to create a change. So from there, it was too late to switch my degree. So I finished up with broadcast journalism, which gave me a good base of shooting and editing, but telling stories for news is vastly different than what we do now. So I really feel like my education came through Invisible Children. It was a series of small interactions and people saying yes to me when I had no skill to prove. Just I became involved in Invisible Children as a volunteer. And then throughout the years, I got to know some of the staff members, and I told them very boldly, I want to create films for you. I want to work in the art department. And they gave me that opportunity, even though I didn't have a lot of experience. They're like, we'll train you. We know you can work hard, and we'll help you get the skills. So I really feel like I got an opportunity. I just lucked out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so I feel like being exposed to that film from Invisible Children that, like, moved you, was it kind of like a realization of like, oh, films can be created, you know, in this type of way, like you said, to elevate voices? Was that like the first moment that you kind of saw that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I guess it was the first time I had realized that someone like me, or like you, could use their voice and their time, their talent, their energy to affect change, like an injustice around the world. Like, I didn't understand that was possible. It was the first time something had been positioned that's like, you can help this. And then beyond just that individual participation, it was giving another voice that had been silenced or been marginalized or oppressed an opportunity to be heard in a humanizing and like dignifying way. It didn't feel exploitative in nature. It felt like really honoring and dignifying. And I had just not seen that before, especially coming from the news world.
Mm-hmm. And 'cause I feel like sometimes with nonprofit films and like, I've made a few like smaller scale things, but I feel like it's hard to toe the line between like moving, but not like so emotional that it's like leaves you feeling sad and like you're, you know, and not that you're avoiding sadness, but how do you balance that? You know, like to where it's not like you just watch something, you're like feeling depressed and it was this solemn music the whole time. And there was no like point of hope in that or point of like, here's what we can do. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And that's a really good question, because I don't think that there's a general like a general rule of thumb there. I think it depends on the story that you get to listen to and that you have the honor of like of telling, because we would certainly never want to take an issue or like, I'll focus on an individual. We would never want to take an individual story and like curb it in a really hopeful way. Mm-hmm. If that's not the reality of it. So it really is reliant on what the reality is and how can we honor this person's voice and journey in the most, truly reflective manner of their experience. And there is the line that I try to toe is a lot of the people that we meet with have experienced extreme trauma and grief and violence. And we really try to take cues from them. Like, are they comfortable in talking about this? If they are, then okay, maybe we'll find a way to communicate that to a greater audience, but really only taking cues from that person, because I'm not so concerned about the audience. I'm more concerned about the person that's allowing us the opportunity to tell their story. Right. If that makes sense.
It does perfectly. Because I've been on some, like I've been on mission trips and been wherever, you know, been to some places, other countries. And I think it's like you're, I feel like you're saying we're going to create for a larger audience, but we're not going to do it at the expense of a person, or like, we're going to find them first, make sure they're comfortable with it, but we're not going to exploit them just so that a nonprofit or an audience can, you know, it's not worth it to raise a lot of money if you've taken advantage of a person and, you know, twisted their story or taken it to a place where they were uncomfortable. Like, that's first. And that's super cool to hear.
Bingo. You said it.
I was just feeling it.
Way more succinctly than I did. Yeah. Yeah. We like one of our core like tenets, like our North Star internally, is just simply that people matter and they always come before the story, where maybe another creative's approach could be like, no, the story comes first and we have to push the story. That's not at all how we choose to operate. We're honored that people would allow us to come in like to their culture and learn from them, share with them. And so we really put people first and then try to figure out the story.
Would different creative people listening, maybe not filmmakers, maybe not photographers, but I guess sure. people that are, it's a loose term, creative people, but people that are artists or in an industry where they're creating something, or maybe they're not even in that business, they're just doing it for fun or for the thrill of it. How does someone, because I'm curious of this, how does someone that maybe doesn't have, you know, a storytelling agency or maybe doesn't have a company that works for nonprofits, how do they begin to like use their craft for good or use their, you know, their art to give a voice to people?
Mm-hmm.
Long question.
It's a good question. And I think it's a good question. And I think I would start with asking back, like, what do you get angry about? Like, what makes you sad? What do you wish was different in the world? And whatever comes up for you with that answer, I would encourage steps forward in that direction. Because I think when we create from a place where something resonates with us on like ourselves on an intrinsic level, then it'll likely resonate with someone else. If you're creating from a place that is authentic to you, I think that emotion can carry out. So in terms of, yeah, there's so many different issues that someone could get involved in, and it could be really overwhelming and almost crushing to an extent, like, oh my gosh, there's so many hard things like happening in the world. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Ha. And we generally have different cares and different interests. And so trust that whatever is on your heart or your brain is there for a reason, and try to explore that. And if, like, more practically, I guess that's more on an internal level, but more practically, I would say get your hands dirty. Find an organization that is doing work and offer to help. Learn, ask questions, try to be a sponge, and or try to find an individual who has a story that maybe parallels an issue that that you care about, and get to know them and learn from them. I think through the process of showing up, volunteering, asking questions, and learning, it'll open up, it usually opens up a pathway to meet that issue with creativity.
I love that. Kind of off the wall question. Do you have any mentors in your life, or anyone, or anything that really inspires you in your creativity and filmmaking?
I'd say my mentor, I'll forever call my mentor, but it's one of the founders of Invisible Children, Jason Russell. He was my boss, my friend, and my mentor. And I remember him sitting down with me and so patiently walking me through edits and teaching me about the three-act story structure that I had never heard of, because I came from the news. Who, what, when, where, why, how. So he was really a great mentor throughout the years. And now we get to sometimes collaborate on projects as we both run our own businesses. I also draw a lot of inspiration from Brené Brown. I love her and her research on humans and relationships and interactions, and just her mindfulness and attentiveness to stories and pain. And I basically gobble up anything and everything she says.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I've not heard of her, so I'll definitely check her out for sure. From like a filmmaking standpoint, I'm curious, you know, what's it like being a female filmmaker? Obviously, it's been a industry in the past, like, dominated by men, and probably an understatement. But what is that like? And I think I have a couple of different female filmmakers that I follow. Like, I think women have a very unique perspective on people and on the world, and I'm not trying to make it up. Gender thing, but I just think there's emotions that sometimes, like, I've shot something and shown my friend, and she's like, she'll notice things that I'm like, she's like, why did you shoot up at her face? Like, women don't like their face being shot from the floor, you know, things like that, like little tiny things. I hope the industry's changing, and it seems like it is slowly, but where women can feel, you know, empowered to, like, be that and, like, be what they want to be. So I want you to speak to that, because obviously you can do that better than me.
Well, yeah, it is pretty well dominated. Whenever you work with another female, I'm like, oh, hi, I see you. A funny story is, we just got it's called like an easy rig.
Yep.
And it helps hold the camera, and it's totally formed for a male's body, and it did not fit me. I could not wear it. And so one of my girlfriends runs her own business, where she makes really amazing leather handbags and jewelry, dear survivor. And she took it and fixed it for me. She's like, oh girl, we got this. And she like shrunk it up and like, it fits me perfectly now. But we literally had to change the infrastructure of the device so I could wear it. But now it's funny, because my male teammate, Jacob, can't wear it because it's too small for him. But there's a difference. It has been a challenge. Like, I have been told by some male coworkers in the past, it's too dangerous for a woman. You can't go there. Oh, you can't do that. Only men can go there. I'm like, are you sure? So there's been And I think, you know, I do recognize that comes through a lens of, like, care and safety, but there has been a lot of hurdles that I've had to jump to prove to people that it doesn't matter, like, your gender identity should be everyone should be offered the same opportunities. And so a lot of people are surprised, oh, you travel to areas that are more war-torn and dangerous as a female, aren't you afraid? Like in the Democratic Republic of Congo, for example, it's more likely that a woman or girl will have been raped than they are to be literate. And it's like the things that maybe we are afraid of, if we lean into them and look at them closer, we'll realize that they're not so scary. And so where I personally haven't felt any boundaries, I have gotten that pushback from people as a female, like, are you sure you can do that alone? Are you sure you can travel? I'm like, yes. Yes. So I repeat this little mantra, it's Brene Brown, but for all other females out there, it's don't shrink, don't puff up, just stand your sacred ground. And I think of that pretty regularly. Like if someone that identifies as females to get pushback, just, or even if it's male, like, feel free to just stand your sacred ground, whatever that would be, in pursuing a certain line of work or aspiration.
I think that's great. Super helpful. I think it's one of those things where it's obviously there, but I don't think you or most of the people that are out killing it, they're not waking up thinking about, you know, like, that you have to prove people wrong. And I think there's always an element of that, but I think the people that are really just out doing it are comfortable in their own skin and just, like, ready to go take it on, you know, not really thinking about that every day, you know. And if I'm wrong, correct me, but.
No, I mean, I feel that. Like, it really, I've thought about it, and I've thought about being a female and funny, and in just the funny ways where it's like, oh gosh, like, I am smaller than some of my guy teammates, so, like, the equipment is heavy, or, like, you know, things don't fit right, like, that kind of, like, logistical stuff. But in terms of doing the work and going and traveling, it's like, really, I haven't even thought about it unless someone makes a comment, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm aware, but that doesn't really change things, or I'm not going to let it change things.
I wanted to ask you this. Do you have any creative outlets where you're maybe finding inspiration or even just getting away from your work?
Honestly, I find that my creative inspiration, like, on a human level, comes from, like, what I'm studying about psychology and relationships and emotion and healing trauma, and listening to podcasts and different researchers and speakers. So I think my inspiration maybe is a little bit unconventional. Like, I really enjoy well-produced videos. Of course, like, the team and I are always sharing, like, oh, did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this? And I draw a lot of inspiration from that. But for me personally, I'm probably not going to Vimeo and combing through staff picks. I'm, like, reading a book on emotion and, like, human nature, and mm-hmm. listening to podcasts about that and getting inspired about, like, human resiliency. And that's more of my personal drive.
Yeah, I love that. So what's next for you? I know you said you're working on your master's, but, like, what do you see the next, you know, little bit of your life that you can foresee? Like, what's next?
That's a great question. So, I mean, we're really excited at Cliffco right now to keep partnering with amazing organizations. Like, we've worked with dozens of partners throughout the years to create videos ranging from issues on slavery and sex trafficking, child marriage, like, environmental issues and job creation. And we want to keep we want to keep doing that. We have some exciting ideas on how to potentially form some partnerships with pro-social businesses or foundations that will help alleviate costs for our nonprofit partners. So we're constantly trying to think about how to make storytelling and video creation more approachable for our partners, more accessible. And then on a personal level, I think I've seen in gathering stories throughout the last 10 years around the world, I've seen so much grief and pain and trauma, and I've really have seen the need for storytelling on a more personal level. So the intention of pursuing master's degree in mental health is to find the intersection in the future of filmmaking and counseling and mental health services, because I think, you know, we tell narratives in the social impact world and we also tell narratives in the personal world. And so I'm excited to find the intersection of those two worlds and be able to offer our nonprofit partners a little bit more services. So when we go in to capture stories, there's some support for people on the ground in terms of like an aftercare curriculum and support, because I've just seen that people, like, even though they have wonderful access to programmatic services, there's often a need for some psychosocial support. So we're excited internally to figure out the blend of those two worlds.
That's super awesome. Like, that's really motivating, you know, to like, because I think some of the people that I've interviewed and even people that I've just talked to, like people that I would consider to be very successful and be like doing what they love, they seem to really care about people. And, you know, even like big businesses and things, that like people are kind of the central part of that. When you go beyond a product or a film or anything, like it's the people that you have to figure out and like put the pieces together. And it's so like, it's really hard to put your mind around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for chatting today. I really appreciate it. And I'm like super pumped for all you guys are doing. Like, I'm following along and like really like engaged with your content, and it's definitely opened my eyes. So for you, I know, you said Invisible Children has opened your eyes to like see that there could be more in creating more for others. And I think I would say your work with Clivco has done that for me. So definitely opened my eyes to
affirmation.
Yeah, it is. I think, I mean, really genuinely, it's opened my eyes and been like, okay, like, and a lot of it for me has been, okay, like, I'm getting paid to make films here, but like, how can I stretch my resources and like go make a film over here and just do it no matter like what it takes to do it too, you know, not just when the paid projects are there, but okay, this is an incredible story. Like, how can I find a way to tell it? You know, so that's challenged me a lot.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what you do, where you land. We'll see. I appreciate that.
Where can people find you? I would love for them to connect like with your company and stuff.
Yeah. So the website is just Cliff, CLIFF.co. Cliff.co.
That's so easy. And you guys just, you guys just got that right. I saw it on Instagram.
Oh, we did. Small business victory. That website handle has just been parked and really wanted it. And so we had to go through like an auction process and a negotiation process. It honestly felt a little bit scammy, but we have it and we're really happy.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So our website. People call this With Cliff for a really long time, and they're like, no, it's Cliff Co. We just couldn't get that URL. So now we're really happy to have it.
So you run an impact storytelling agency that was started by the name of your dog. So it's like unique. It's your own thing. Like, it's super awesome.
You know what? If that's not indicative of building the plane as it's flying, I don't know what is.
I love it.
Like, what does that mean? Like, nothing. It's the name of dog we love.
Yeah, exactly. Just the dog, and we love people. So that's basically what we do.
Yeah. That's not overcomplicated.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. And thanks again to Ashley for being a part of our show and for just being so open with her creativity and her process. and just an incredible example for so many of us creatives to follow. If you enjoyed today's show, would you share it with a friend? Would you subscribe and get back out there and create? You might surprise yourself with what you can accomplish.